ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् 10-10 चैप्टर 66 एंटाइटल्ड पौंड्रका द फॉल्स वासुदेव। टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। त्वं वासुदेवो भगवान् अवतीर्णो जगत्पति इति प्रस्तोभितो बाले मेन आत्मानमच्युतम्। त्वं वासुदेवो भगवान् अवतीर्णो जगत्पति इति प्रस्तोभितो बाले मेन आत्मानमच्युतम्। त्वं वासुदेवो भगवान् अवतीर्णो जगत्पति इति प्रस्तोभितो बाले मेन आत्मानमच्युतम्। त्वं यु वासुदेवः वासुदेव भगवान् द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अवतीर्णः डिसेंडेड जगत ऑफ द यूनिवर्स पति ही द मास्टर इति दस प्रस्तोभितः एम्बोल्डन्ड विद फ्लैटरी बालै बाय चाइल्डिश मैन मैने ही इमेजिन्ड आत्मानम हिमसेल्फ अच्युतम द इनफैलिबल लॉर्ड। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: Paundrak was emboldened by the flattery of childish men, who told him, "You are Vasudev, the Supreme Lord and Master of the Universe, who have now descended to the earth." Thus he imagined himself to be the infallible personality of Godhead. Purport: Paundrak foolishly accepted the flattery of ignorant persons. Text 3. दूतं च प्राहिणोन्मन्द कृष्णाया व्यक्तत्वर्त्मने द्वारकायां यता बालो नृपो बालक्रतो बुधा. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पोपोर्ट. ट्रांसलेशन. द स्लो विटेड किंग पौंड्रक सेंट अ मैसेंजर टू द इनस्क्रूटेबल लॉर्ड कृष्णा एट द्वारका. पौंड्रक वॉज एक्टिंग just like an unintelligent child whom other children are pretending is a king. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the reason Shukdev Goswami here mentions for the second time that Pandrak sent a message to Lord Krishna is that the great sage is astonished at Pandrak's extreme foolishness.
ओमज्ञातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा वह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
ट्रांसलेशन वंस अगेन. पौंड्रक वॉज एम्बोल्डन्ड बाय द फ्लैटरी ऑफ चाइल्डिश मैन हु टोल्ड हिम, यू आर वासुदेव द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड एंड मास्टर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स हु हैव नाउ डिसेंडेड टू द अर्थ. दस ही इमेजिन्ड हिमसेल्फ टू बी द इनफैलिबल पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड. दस स्लो विटेड किंग पौंड्रक सेंट अ मैसेंजर टू द इनस्क्रूटेबल लॉर्ड कृष्णा एट द्वारका. Pandrak was acting just like an unintelligent child whom other children are pretending is king. So there is a devotee at Mira Road. Now his kids are quite grown up. So, but when his kids were small, few years ago, if you ask them, what you will become after you grow up, they used to say, Radhanath Maharaj banenge. And sometimes even when we join the Brahmachari Ashram, for those who are Brahmacharis, initially some kind of childish mentality. Maybe some of us also think, Gaurang Prabhu banenge. and then in BT Shadbuj Prabhu banenge. So Paundrak is something similar, but it's to an extreme degree. Krishna Banunga, he's thinking. So this phenomena of self-worth is very interesting, right? Paundrak, he has an over-magnified sense of self-worth. Now what is this self-worth? Self-worth is how we see ourselves, how worthy we consider ourselves, how valuable we consider ourselves to be. Now how worthy we consider ourselves naturally it depends upon what's our bank balance. And then our abilities, our skills. How good looking we are perhaps, how beautiful we are. All these things accumulate to give us a sense of how worthy we are, how much self-worth we have. But this is just part of the story. Our sense of self-worth is a lot influenced by the environment and the experiences we have also. For example, a person might be having a very low sense of self-worth, but then somehow the person who is on perhaps Gaur Purnima or Radhashtami, the person who is supposed to write the board, now he forgets and last minute that person is requested, please sing Mangal Arati. So the person might be having the voice of a donkey, but when he starts reading the Mangal Arati, just by the fact that so many people are following his lead, that enhances the sense of self-worth. Okay, something is happening when I sing. Also, you know, suppose after Nirjal Ekadashi, a person is told, you are in charge of distributing Nimbu Sharbat. So that person gains tremendous amount of self-worth within a few minutes, practically. So the environment has a lot of influence also, apart from what our core abilities or our core assets are. Here we see Paundrak, just because few people around him are glorifying him, saying that you are Vasudev, he just developed a great sense of self-worth. Also the experiences in life. Someone who has experienced a lot of success and has hardly experienced any failure, that person will have a tremendous amount of self-worth as compared to someone who has repeatedly experienced failures in life. So all these things accumulate. So just a part of our self-worth, of how worthy we consider ourselves to be, how valuable we consider ourselves to be, just a part of it is dependent upon facts. Dependent upon how much money we have, how much abilities we have and all these things. And many other factors influence it. Mainly the environment and then the experiences we have had. And our sense of self-worth, it changes over time. Depending upon the environment we are in and the experiences we undergo in life. For example, now I did my schooling in a village atmosphere. So it was a small school and especially in 11th and 12th, there are just 11 or 12 students. So amongst them, I was doing pretty good in terms of studies. So all of them used to tell, you know, how intelligent you are and things like that. So that kind of gave me a magnified sense of self-worth. So I thought that, you know, I'm fit for getting into IIT. So I dreamt of becoming an IITian. But then I gave a few exams and I didn't do so well and couldn't get through. So those experiences brought down my sense of self-worth. And somehow by Krishna's grace I was pushed through. But then when I got into IIT somehow, again by that environment, again my sense of self-worth increased, just because I was surrounded by other IITians. So the point is, our sense of self-worth, it varies over time, depending upon the environment we are put in and the experiences we go through in life. For a Shastric example, Jarasandha, every time he attacked Mathura and he was defeated, he used to lose his sense of self-worth. But then he used to go back. That experience used to bring down his sense of self-worth. But then he used to go back to his kingdom, and there his ministers, the environment, again used to magnify his sense of self-worth, and he used to gain confidence to come back and attack Krishna once again. So the point is, our sense of self-worth, it varies over time depending upon what environment we are putting ourselves into and what experiences we undergo in life. And one very important thing to be understood is, we as human beings have very less capacity to handle sudden changes in the sense of self-worth, sudden fluctuations in self-worth. Prabhupada gives the example of one lawyer in the British Empire. So this lawyer, he was earning thousands of rupees when he was working under the British. And inspired by Gandhi's non-violent movement for freedom, he resigned from his job in the British Empire and took up a job which was very low paying. Now that low paying job was sufficient for his sustenance. But then that sudden drop of sense of self-worth, he was earning thousands of rupees, and from that to perhaps a few hundred rupees, that he couldn't handle, and Prabhupada says that he died within a very short time. Sudden drop in the sense of self-worth. And sudden increase in the sense of self-worth also human beings can't handle. Just last month, this was in the news. One of the most successful startups in Bombay, its CEO, Chief Executive Officer, he's hardly in his 20s. And he started a company, and within a matter of a few years, he managed to get a capital funding of around 1,000 or 1,500 crores for his company from practically nothing. So that sudden, you know, fluctuation in the sense of self-worth, it was obvious that he couldn't handle. You know, he started behaving arrogantly, and started doing all kinds of crazy things, until the very company that he founded had to throw him out. So it's a sad story, but the point is, we as human beings have very less capability to handle sudden fluctuation of self-worth. And we can see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu handled Keshav Kashmiri in a very sensitive way, that is why. So Keshav Kashmiri, now Mahaprabhu knew that he had to cut him down. But then if he had done it in the public, Keshav Kashmiri couldn't have handled it. So he took him to a secluded place, and just in front of a few students, Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri. And then when his students started laughing, Mahaprabhu stopped them. No, you shouldn't laugh at him. And immediately Mahaprabhu, he just stopped the debate and told Keshav Kashmiri, now you go, tomorrow we will meet. Because Keshav Kashmiri was used to so much of fame, and he had such a high sense of self-worth. He was a Digvijay Pandit. For him to be crushed all of a sudden, he would have died perhaps. And so Mahaprabhu handled very carefully. He was very sensitive. Even material nature, if you analyze, material nature is quite compassionate from that perspective. Imagine a person who is the prime minister of an entire nation, and he has been the prime minister of an entire nation for 17 years with full majority, and after that person dies, according to the laws of nature, he takes birth as a dog somewhere in Switzerland. Now, if he has to live the life of a dog in Switzerland with the same sense of self-worth as the prime minister of an entire nation, imagine the plight of that dog. So material nature is so merciful, wipes out all memory. So people many times ask, why can't I remember what I did in a past birth? Why can't we have memories of previous births? It's simple. We can't handle the fluctuations of self-worth. We can't handle it. So if we are playing the role of leaders, especially on behalf of Krishna, it is very crucial to keep this point in mind, that suppose if we see somebody whom we need to cut them down, it has to be done very sensitively, in such a way that the fluctuation is not sudden. And also if we feel that someone is very much more capable than what he is currently doing, that hike also should be very gradual. Another interesting phenomena which is associated with this concept of self-worth is that we tend to compare ourselves with people whom we think are of the same self-worth as we are. Is it not? So tomorrow if there is a news that Bill Gates has acquired a new company, I won't feel insecure, or I won't feel envious of him, isn't it? But if one of my close friends, he achieves something or he does something extraordinary, I'll immediately feel disturbed, I'll perhaps feel envious, because I consider my self-worth comparable to that person's self-worth. So one of the drawbacks of modern civilization is, because of the educational system, the notion is potentially everyone is of the same self-worth. So because everyone goes through the same educational system, first standard, second standard, third standard, so a person is made to think that we are all of the same worth, and anybody and everybody feels that he can achieve anything in life. So practically speaking, perhaps 5,000 or 6,000 people pass out of IIT every year, and each and every one of them thinks that he is going to be the next Steve Jobs or the next Bill Gates. Imagine the kind of pressure that is on you. Imagine the kind of competitive spirit that is there and the kind of stress and the envy that it will create consequently. So it's actually a very sorry state of affairs that the modern educational system is creating. On the other hand, Varnashram, the division is systematic. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras according to abilities, qualities and abilities. So a person who is born in a Shudra family, he doesn't even think about competing with the Kshatriyas or with the Brahmanas. So immediately, all he is left with is 1/4 of the society whom he has to think about competing with. And especially if he is coming from a family of perhaps cobblers or something, then he has to simply compete with other cobblers. He doesn't have to compete with someone else. So the amount of stress, the amount of pressure a person has to handle is very less. And the amount of envy that a person has to handle potentially is also significantly less. So from that perspective, we can see how Varnashram is extremely scientific. Now yes, I did say that material nature is compassionate in the sense that it erases our memory of past birth so that the fluctuation of self-worth is not too much. But at the same time, material nature is designed in such a way that we have to face fluctuations of self-worth every now and then. Otherwise, how will we become frustrated in life? So, material nature is designed to frustrate us by fluctuations of self-worth. Right? So suddenly, we are put in an environment or circumstances in which we feel, I'm so worthy, I'm so great, I'm so valuable. But the next moment, we are made to go through a circumstances or a situation wherein we feel that I am nothing. So these fluctuations of self-worth is designed by material nature to frustrate us thoroughly. So the point is, even it's not just devotees, even people in the outside world, many times they feel frustrated. Okay, sometimes the world makes me feel that I am so great. And sometimes the world makes me feel that I am nothing. So just give it all up. You know, actually I am nothing. Just live with nothing at all. And especially as devotees, it makes perfect sense. Because we actually know that whatever worth we have, it is all coming from Krishna. And nothing belongs to us anyways. But still, why is it so difficult to give up that sense of self-worth? Material nature, the material world, its plan is very insidious in the sense that we are programmed to believe that unless we are worthy, unless we have some sense of self-worth, we are not worthy of love and we are not worthy of belonging. That is how the material world is designed. Is it not? For example, I have got quite a few friends on Facebook. Because it's part of my service, I need to maintain a Facebook account. So, so on my Facebook account, I got a few friends. So some of these friends, just at the age of 36 or 37, they are serial entrepreneurs. Some of them are venture capitalists already. And some are doing a modest job in some company. Now, when a person who is a venture capitalist or who is highly successful, he posts something on Facebook, immediately there is a deluge of likes and so many shares, immediately, irrespective of what he shares and what he posts on his Facebook. What to speak of if he posts his son's or daughter's photograph? Immediately, so many comments. Oh, so cute, so beautiful, so lovely. Irrespective of how the child is. But then, another person who has got a modest job, that person, however good the post might be, however beautiful his child might be, but still, not many likes, not many shares, not many comments. And what to speak of when a penniless monk posts something? It's a desert. Hardly one or two likes. And that to those people who came here and I fed them in Govindas. So out of gratitude they feel, okay, poor fellow, nobody is liking his post. At least let me like him. At least let me like the post. So that's how the material world is, that unless we are worthy, unless we are skilled, unless we are talented, unless we have money, who cares? Who will accept us? Who will love us? No value. That's how the material world is. So if you tell people that self-worth is a cause of so much misery, fluctuation of self-worth is the cause of so much misery, just give it up. They can't, it's a nightmare. Because if they give up a sense of self-worth, who will accept them? Who will love them? And as sadhakas, when we come to the path of devotional service, because we are coming from that background, we still have the same hangover many times. Subconsciously we are convinced that unless I have got something of which I can call myself worthy of, it could be anything, managerial abilities or singing abilities or speaking abilities, unless I have something which I can be worthy of, which is of self-worth, I won't be lovable, I won't be accepted. Because that kind of fear, that kind of conditioning is very subconscious. And it continues. And it's extremely difficult to pull it out. And many times, the raw truth is, sometimes it could be true also many times in the association of devotees. Because everyone is struggling to be a devotee after all. So the tendency could be that even in the association of devotees, actually devotees try their best to extend their love unconditionally. But many times, we might perceive many times that the amount of love that we receive is conditional to the amount of self-worth that we carry. But the point is, it's very subconscious. The fear is very subconscious. The conviction that the amount of love, the amount of belonging that we will receive is directly proportional to our self-worth. This conviction is extremely deep and it has captured our subconscious consciousness. And the only way we can get out of this conditioning, and we need to get out of this conditioning, because as long as we remain under this conditioning, this meter of self-worth will be ticking within. and will be paying heed to it, and our life will be miserable. As long as we are always conscious of our self-worth, and we are always worrying about our self-worth, how worthy I am, how valuable I am, as long as we are worrying about it, we are going to be miserable, because our sense of self-worth is always going to be subjected to fluctuations. That's how the material world is designed. That's how material nature is designed. However high our sense of self-worth might be today, if not tomorrow, day after tomorrow, it has to fall. That is the nature of the material world. So as long as we lug on to our sense of self-worth, we are bound to be miserable. So we have to just let go. And we can't let go unless we are convinced that the amount of love, the amount of belonging that we'll receive is independent of our sense of self-worth. That there is somebody who loves us regardless of how worthy we are, of how valuable we are in the estimation of the world. 2011 Vrindavan Yatra, the first lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, simple point, but it was so striking. He said, it doesn't matter how big we are, how small we are. It doesn't matter whether we are famous or nobody knows us at all. It doesn't matter whether people love us or hate us. As long as we are sincerely trying to love Krishna, Krishna always loves us. So the conviction has to go deep that regardless of what happens, Krishna always loves us. Personally for me, one of the biggest inspiration in this regard is Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where he describes how when a living entity, Gop Kumar, he enters the spiritual world, how Krishna receives. A living entity who has spent millions of lifetimes in the material world. So Gop Kumar expresses that when he goes to Golok Vrindavan, it is dusk when Krishna is returning from the pasturing grounds. So Krishna is returning with his friends, and as soon as he sees Gop Kumar, this living entity who has just returned from the material world, Krishna leaves his group of cowherd boyfriends and runs towards Gop Kumar. Swadina loka priyata niyantrito balad utotprutya samipamagata. Swadina loka priyata niyantrito. Krishna is someone who is controlled by the affection, by the love of his devotees. He is not influenced by how worthy we are in terms of the money we have, or the talents we have, or the abilities we have. All he is looking for is love.
Swadina loka priyata niyantrito balad utotplutya samipamagata.
And that force of love that Krishna feels for Gop Kumar makes him come jumping towards him.
Balad utotplutya samipamagata. Tamikshanam viksha vimohitam hima.
And Gop Kumar describes, just by seeing how Krishna loves me, I couldn't handle it. So I immediately fainted. And as Gop Kumar is fainting,
gale grahitva sahasa patadhati.
As Gop Kumar is falling, Krishna comes and catches hold of Gop Kumar's neck, and even Krishna faints. And both Gop Kumar and Krishna have fallen to the ground.
Kshanena samyam ahametya tasmat vimocha yatnat galamuttitasan.
So Gop Kumar describes that kshanena samyam, within a moment I regained my consciousness. And when I regained my consciousness, I found myself, my neck, still within the grips of Krishna's hand.
Vimocha yatnat galamuttitasan.
So immediately I freed my neck from Krishna, and when I got up, what did I see?
Pashyami bhumau patito vimuya.
I had regained my consciousness, but the amount of ecstasy, the amount of happiness that Krishna had experienced after seeing me was so much that Krishna hadn't regained his consciousness still. He was still fainted.
Vartmardayanastirajomayamsa.
And from Krishna's eyes, tears were constantly flowing, and those tears were wetting the dust of Rajbhumi. So seeing this scene that Krishna is fainting and constantly tears are pouring from Krishna's eyes, everyone is perturbed, all the Brajvasis. And they start wondering, who has come? Who is this new person who has come? Who has caused this to happen to our Krishna? Is he one of those people who has been sent by magician Kamsa? And immediately Yashodamai and Nand Maharaj, they run towards the scene. And all the animals of Rajbhumi, they surround Krishna and start licking his body, making sounds of great agony. And all the birds in the sky, they start circling the scene in great distress, not knowing what has happened to Krishna. Suddenly Balram, he comes out amongst a group of cowherd boys. And he looks here and there for the cause. And then he finds Gop Kumar. So he tells Gop Kumar to tap the body of Krishna in different places, to massage the body of Krishna, and to call out to Krishna with his own voice. And when Gop Kumar does it, Krishna slowly opens his eyes. It is described that Krishna's eyes were sealed by incessant crying. And Krishna opened that seal to see Gop Kumar. And he looks around and he feels embarrassed. He feels, what a scene I have created in Vrajbhumi. So Krishna creates a scene in Vrajbhumi when a conditioned soul comes there after spending millions of births in the material world being envious of Krishna. So we are hankering for love. We are hankering for belonging. rather than looking for this love, for this belonging in this material world, where we have to work so hard for our own self-worth to gain it, and it's flickering. Kumar Gaurang Prabhu was telling me that, just now he was telling me, that he used to organize programs, big festivals in his college. So people used to come and perform there as singers. So a person used to come on the stage to perform, and people used to cheer him, expecting him to sing very nicely. So they used to glorify him. But then, if that person's singing wasn't to their liking, they used to tell in Marathi. I can't repeat the Marathi. In Marathi they used to tell, "Mummy is calling you at home, please go home." That is the material world. And we are trying to find love and belonging in this material world. And here is Krishna who is waiting for us. So the point is, we can't give up our attachment to our sense of self-worth as long as we are not convinced that Krishna loves us unconditionally. Krishna's love is complete, and Krishna loves us no matter what. All he is looking for is our sincerity, and that conviction comes only by Krishna's grace. And that conviction comes through the grace of Krishna's pure devotees. That is the only way, actually. We are dependent upon the mercy of Krishna's devotees for that grace, so that we gain that conviction about Krishna's unconditional love. That is the only way we can dare to throw out the meter of self-worth that is sticking within all the time. And when we throw out that meter of self-worth that is painfully ticking within, that is what sannyas is all about, actually. So Avanti Brahmans, the verse he chants is also the sannyas mantra of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Etam chasthaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamair mahadvi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangrinishevayaiva. So he says that etam saasthaya paratmanishta adhyasitam purvatamair madbhi. So his realization after he went through whatever he had to go through was, let me fix my mind upon the lotus feet of Krishna, following the footsteps of previous great souls and previous acharyas. Aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. And only when I fix my mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, mukundangri, only when I fix my consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna, can I cross over the insurmountable material existence which forces me to always worry about my sense of self-worth, always be conscious of how worthy I am in the eyes of the world, how big I am, how important I am. And unless we do that, we can always be potentially cause of a lot of jokes, just like Poundrak is here in this particular instance. Because of his over-magnified sense of self-worth, he is simply a cause of joke, laughter. And the beauties Krishna gave even him, Sarupya Mukti, in due course of time. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.